Jesus loves children, right? I think if there's one thing that we can all probably hold hands together on today and agree with the unified voice, it's that Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world, right? And here at Trinity, we carry out that legacy. We invest so much time and effort and financial support into raising and teaching children. I once heard someone say, we're Trinity, it's what we do. I think that's true. And it's what distinguishes us from other local churches, and I think Jesus would be proud of that. Just look at our gospel lesson for today. Jesus is teaching the crowds, right? And last week we hear him say, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. No mincing of words there. And today, we have the crowds of people who were following him, sensing his love for God's precious children. There was something about this teacher, something about the things that he said, something about his healing hands, his miraculous touch. They had seen those hands heal many in the crowd, so they brought their children to him. Luke's account uses words indicating that many of them were infants, babies. And they brought these little ones just hoping that Jesus would touch them, heal them, bless them. Because Jesus loves children, and they could just tell. But not everyone seems to understand this. The disciples, they say, back off, hands off to these baby bringers. Jesus shouldn't be bothered with the little children. He had more important things to do. He had to preach and teach and visit the sick and heal them. He had crowds of adults to talk to. His disciples, they weren't polite. They actually rebuked those who tried to have Jesus touch their babies. Jesus loves children? Well, maybe, but as far as the disciples were concerned, he had better things to do. So there seems to be two opposing views in our text. And for us here at Trinity, that's kind of hard to imagine. Or is it? We live in a country that loves children, right? We have people and places and programs dedicated solely to helping children. Trinity is one of them. When children die, as happened at, say, Sandy Hook a few years ago, sadness and mourning grip our entire country. We become unified in our grief. The death of children makes tragic news even more tragic. How often do we read this kind of headline, right? 10 die in fire, 6 of them children. Death is hard to accept, but the death of children is unacceptable. And at the same time, we live in a country where many, even in the church, view the sanctity of life in the womb as somehow exempt from this. We've seen it in the news lately, right, with all the news about Planned Parenthood and the debate surrounding their funding. I wish Jesus were here in this day and age to comment on it. I think his testimony before Congress would be rather enlightening. Because Jesus loves children. The people sensed it. The disciples, they tried to deny it. But Jesus, however, he demonstrates it. In the remainder of our text, Jesus does two things to his disciples. He rebukes and he teaches them. And then he does three things for the children. He reaches, he embraces, and he blesses. So first, Jesus does some rebuking of his own. His rebuke is strong. He is indignant over the attitude of the disciples. In today's vernacular, he's ticked off at their dismissive attitude, right? And we can understand the way that Jesus reacted. What would you do if every Sunday morning you came here and the ushers did their best to keep all the children outside of the church? Right? We wouldn't stand for that. Why would anyone choose to hinder someone else from learning about Jesus and his love? Jesus, however, does not only rebuke his disciples, he also teaches them. The children become object lessons of what it takes to enter into the kingdom of God. The kingdom belongs to those who receive it like a child, he says. And Jesus is not talking about some perceived innocence of children. Now, that would contradict God's word found in Psalm 51. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my sin did my mother conceive me. Jesus, he wants us to receive the kingdom of heaven like a child. And what he means is, well, children need to be totally reliant upon someone else, right? And that's how it's supposed to be when it comes to inheriting eternal life. See, little children, they just accept gifts willingly, happily, right? They don't question it. They don't refuse it. They don't try to keep score. I mean, give a kid a chocolate and it's just pure joy and a messy face. Give an adult a chocolate and they start refusing, saying, oh, no, I couldn't. It would go right to my hips. And oh, that's your chocolate. It's not mine. And it's one of the nice Belgian ones, and I'm sure you paid a lot for it. I couldn't bear to take it. And oh, I like milk chocolate, but really I prefer dark chocolate too. And all the while the adult's thinking, why is he trying to give me a chocolate? What does he want? The adults are terrible at accepting gifts, right? But God wants us to receive the kingdom of heaven like a little child, with simply a thank you and a smile. Remember what Jesus did when the disciples were having one of their frequent discussions about who was the greatest among them. From Matthew chapter 18, we read, calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them. Then Jesus said, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. As we listen to Jesus teach, we realize that this scene is more than just some cute little interaction with children. It's a picture of Jesus' relationship with us. Jesus loves children, and all who receive him are his children. It's when we forget that we are his children that we fall into the trap of relying on ourselves and thinking that we have the wisdom to make the choices that only God can make. We try to make ourselves bigger than God, and we behave as though he does not love his children. But God does love his children. And the rest of our text gives us a picture of just how much he loves them. He reaches for them. He embraces them. And he blesses them. Jesus loves children. In our text, Jesus reaches out and he takes the children into his arms. And this is no superficial pat on the head. Jesus initiates a personal relationship with these children. He reaches out to all helpless individuals, and he takes them into his arms. And these are not just any old arms. Scripture has some things to say about these arms. They are loving arms. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs into his arms, from Isaiah chapter 40. And they are powerful arms. The psalmist writes, "You have a mighty arm, and strong is your hand." And we need these strong, loving arms to embrace us. We need that as we struggle through this life. Maybe you're a teen struggling with tough decisions. Or maybe someone who you love has a terminal disease. Maybe you're faced with end-of-life decisions for an aging parent. Or maybe there's an ache in your heart because of some past sin or other loss. Well, as you picture Jesus embracing these children who come to him, picture yourself there. There's nothing too difficult or sin-stained for these loving and powerful arms. They reach out to those who are hurting and in need of help. Jesus loves all his children. And in our text, he puts his hands on them and he touches them. As the people there sense, these are not just any hands. These are the hands of God. Hands of the Creator who created the universe and everything in it. These are the hands that created life out of dust. Isaiah pictures these hands as the hands of a potter. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter, and we are all the work of your hands. And these hands, they willingly stretched out and were nailed to a cross. Jesus, the Holy Child of God, took the place of all the children of God. From Hebrews chapter 2. Since therefore the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has power of death, that is the devil. The punishment of our sin fell on him, and his holiness was given to us. To us, we who are by nature children of wrath, we are reborn as forgiven children of God through faith in Jesus' pierced hands. Because of the blood they shed on our behalf, these hands have forgiven our sins. And now these very hands, they embrace us. But do not let them embrace you as an adult. Listen, there are enough times in this life when we have to be all grown up, right? We don't have a choice. And look, I'm a dad now. I get it in a way that I never have before. There are plenty of times that you have to act like an adult. But when it comes to Jesus and your relationship with him, don't even try to match his effort. When it comes to God, it's so unachievable, it's simply disappointing even to try. So instead, be like a child. Have faith like a child. Receive the kingdom of heaven like a child. Know that the forgiveness and eternal life are only obtainable as gifts freely given to us. And you can either openly accept this gift as it's given freely with no cost attached, or you can reject it. Those are the two options. There is no middle ground. Jesus loves children. So be one of his children. Totally and completely. Amen. Now know that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.